Vor ihm wollten wir gehen. Wo sind wir nun?
Welcome, 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 welcome.
Good afternoon. Well, this is a little surreal.
Oh, it is.
Now it's back to just us. My name's Andrew.
And mine is Miel.
And you're listening to...
The Anarchivist Podcast.
Yes, the Anarchivist Podcast / radio show / audio version of the zine, which if you look on Facebook, it's there. What's the basic premise of this show, Miel?
Well, I kind of envisioned... I'm not sure what impression you were under. We haven't spoken a word since, like, the mics came on.
Yes, that's right. We've
booked before in, the mics came on,
We booked in the slot and rocked up today with a USB drive full of music.
Exactly.
And some ideas.
We did. So, yeah, and this is actually kind of weird because both of us have had shows on Radio Monash in the past, and it's been a very long time since either of us has been on air.
Now, how long has it been for you, Miel?
So it's been about 3 years since I ran my show. What was it called again?
Really Deep Six. That long ago that Deep Six ran. I've got some recordings of Deep Six. Unfortunately, not many survive.
They are still on archive.org if
you
want to dig them up.
Oh, all of them?
Yeah, and I've got links on Facebook. Yep.
That's good. I'll need to dig into those.
And Andrew, you were, from what I understand, also a prior presenter.
Yes, I did. I did a show about 6 years ago now when I was back in second year of undergraduate, and that was called The Right Stuff. What a great title for
Bravo.
The Right Stuff. And I can't even remember what I did back then, and nothing remains of that period unless it's on someone's hard disk out in the ether. But yeah, so this show might be a blend of both of those. Of course, musical tastes have probably evolved a little bit since then, but you'll be hearing a nice blend of music, some social commentary, and
we'll keep it spicy for you. Yeah, especially
we can get them in.
Yeah, that's right. So we were looking at getting some guests. We cannot make any promises at the moment because we haven't scheduled anything, but hopefully we can schedule some of our time to talk to some local musicians that we know, and shout out if you're listening.
And also a bunch of old people.
We'll
feature some drain explorers, some old school amateur radio operators.
Yes.
Maybe a random family member or two, or maybe not. Academics, you know, whatever.
Depending how desperate we get.
That's right. And if the phone was working, which we hope to get operational, we'll have a talk back.
Yeah. So we can speak to the, like, one or two people who bother to tune in.
That's right. So I think that we'll call up a bit of music for you this lovely Wednesday afternoon. I think the Myth Meat Band are playing out on the lemon scented lawns.
That is an in joke. So we call the Smith Street Band, the Smith Street Band, the Myth Meat Band.
Yes. Led by the inimitable Will Wagner.
Is that actually his name?
Yes, his name is Will Wagner.
I have no idea. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm reminded of the sort of music that I make an effort to avoid, and I'm just sort of glad. Yes. Anyway.
The darlings of upper middle class white kids everywhere.
Ooh, here we go, guys. Sorry, we're getting it.
We promised a bit of music for you before the social commentary.
Yes, we'll pull the punches at the moment, and we'll give you some primitive calculators.
Yes, so just a little bit of background.
Oh. Oops.
Whoops.
I jumped the shark there once. I
forgot about the background. Sorry, it was me. The last issue of Anarchivist featured three Springvale artists, and you're going to hear each and every one of them. Primitive calculators.
Here we go. Do the ice pick. We'll be right back. we're back.
Yes, we are back, and at
so
the top of...
What did we just hear, Andrew?
Well, at the top of that bracket, we heard Primitive Calculators with Do the Ice Do the Ice Pick. When does that date from here?
Ooh.
Is that an older or
That's got to be back when they were in Dogs in Space kind of era.
Oh, well, they reformed for Dogs in Space.
Mm.
So if that was an original track, it would have been...
Maybe the 70s.
Yeah, late 70s, I reckon. Or but they did reunite a couple of times. They did have that sort of dance single out in the late 80s or whatever. Yeah, so that was Primitive Calculators featuring Monash's very own Stuart Grant.
Legend.
Perhaps he's listening, perhaps he's not. He's almost certainly not. And
he's got better things to do, Andrew.
We heard a track off the last Damien Cowell's Disco Machine album, who also appears in the issue 3 of the Springvale Anarchivist. Mm-hmm. That was Damien Cowell's Disco Machine with Folk Music Makes Me... It turns me into a fascist.
Very true.
Some of the lyrics behind Damien's songs are just fantastic. You've got to download the whole TISM discography, the whole Root discography, the whole Disco Machine discography, and DC3 to fully appreciate it. And that last track, we'll apologise to Scott or Reese or Mariam if they are listening. Yes, I know that is a very, very old Diploid track, and I will give a disclaimer to our audience. They sound nothing like that now. They... incredibly sophisticated
post-hardcore, sort of, would you say?
Well, black metal, a bit of hardcore punk, a bit of sludge, a bit of everything, really. Just one of those really unique bands. Been going for quite some time now, and they play really regularly around Melbourne, so if you get a chance to catch Diploid, definitely make sure that you do, and you'll be able to hear some much more... much more recent cuts than that. I just thought I'd play it because it's rare and it's all I had on my laptop at the time. So yes, apologies to any of the members of Diploid who rather I didn't play that. Anyway, so we're going to have a little bit of a discussion now. So
real talk time.
Yes, a bit of social commentary as promised. So
yes,
I was at my computer yesterday and it got me thinking about music festivals. Now, I'm sure that many of you, dear listeners, have been to a music festival or two in your lifetime.
It's always a bit of a mixed experience, in my opinion. The ones that I've been to anyway, actually, I've only been to one, full disclosure, and I didn't pay for it. So I don't know if I have the right to complain, but I will anyway.
Was that one that you were playing at?
No. So this was the Meredith Music Festival, which it had a nice atmosphere. It was lovely. And I was gifted the tickets, so it was a lovely time. I did find, however, when it came to the music, that the experience was a little bit more like a P&O cruise, as opposed to something, more musically interesting. Especially, and granted, I wasn't there on the blockbuster day, which was the Friday night. And they tend to do this at a lot of festivals, is they pack all the big artists in one bracket on one day. And the rest of the days are almost filler. And there were some great artists still in between. But the quality, especially past about 7 p.m., was really... took a dive, and it did feel like I was on a cruise ship with just a bit of a younger demographic. That was that was about it. So
stone 20-year-olds,
pretty much. I wasn't stoned or drunk, but a lot of people were, and including the friend I was with, so that was a bit that was a bit awkward. I was kind of by myself, which probably kind of colored my experience a bit as well.
Now, this prompts my my questioning for this, because I'm positing this to our listeners, if music festivals have become less sort of focused on the music and more focused on what the new ages in the field would call the experience.
I do think so. I think it is a bit of an experience factory, and the music's kind of secondary. Aside from one or two big artists to pull you in, to make you pull the trigger on that counting down ticket tech window, as they often do these days, they have this time pressure thing where you have, a 5-minute session to buy it or else. And there's also that culture of, you know, FOMO, for lack of a better word, which is, you know, oh, you got to be there. Everyone's there.
Which is just getting worse and worse now that we live in an age of social media.
Yeah.
Where the haves and have-nots are very readily sorted depending on, like, your Instagram status or Facebook status or whatever.
Yeah, and it's just sort of a place to be, especially when you're at uni and perhaps, you know, a young, impressionable person. And it really, to me, it's not even about music anymore. It's about, you know, getting drunk with your mates out in a tent or wherever the festival happens to be held, you know. Just draw it out of a hat where you're going to be drunk or stoned, but that's what's going to happen.
And I was reading some articles and I discussed this with one of the members of my research group who likes to go to the odd festival. Just the amount of money that you spend on clothes or outfits getting dolled up for these festivals, where most of the time you'll probably sit in your tent or you might sort of languish at the back of a... Because, okay, let's put it into perspective from my experience. I've been to maybe half a dozen festivals in my time. Most of them were either Big Day Out or Soundwave. Mm. And the last time I went to one of those is probably about 5 years ago. The exception to that was when I went to All Tomorrow's Parties back in 2012, which had a phenomenally good lineup and a totally bizarre choice of venue. So you had My Bloody Valentine, Swans, Unches and Neubauten, The Drones, all of these sort of heavy hitter alternative bands that weren't quite... They hadn't quite gotten... had that big resurgence that they had.
No, it was just before the Tide, and it was also just... when Shellac broke their 20-year hiatus from touring Australia, basically. So they hadn't toured in 20 years over here. They had obviously toured everywhere else, but they hadn't visited Australia in a really long time, and that kind of coincided with ATP. I think that was... I think it... Did they... They played at...
No, they weren't on...
Oh, they weren't ATP. On the lineup.
They came out, I think... Well, it sort of was just before all of this sort of... 4chan-moo inspired like music sort of became really
Anthony Fantano's and Drones.
Yes, it was just before that when Swans' The Seer had just been released, and that was sort of a really big catalyst for a lot of that.
Yeah. Also from the last festival that I went to actually was quite fun actually. It was it wasn't really a festival per se in that you had to do camping or anything or go anywhere outlandish. It was Melbourne Music Festival, and there were some incredible acts there, and I was really happy to go along. However, what I do find, and this is almost another topic altogether, but festivals have a really big accessibility problem. And me as a disabled person, navigating festivals is pretty... It's not the best experience, and it kind of informs my opinion about them as well. So at Melbourne Music Festival, I had my caloric solution that I call it. Basically, I'm not supposed to eat solid foods, or I can't. It's too painful. So I have a nutrition shake, and I had those confiscated from me due to a really draconian and ridiculous fluid ban at Melbourne Music Week.
They probably thought it was GHB or something.
No, their response was that they didn't want people bringing in drinks when they could buy them inside, and that included water, which is a bit of a slippery slope legally.
Yes.
But yeah, that's almost another tangent. But that does... Also, colour a lot of people's judgments about festivals, and it does make a lot of people unable to participate. So when festivals are held up as being, you gotta go, you gotta experience this, it's so great, like, who are you? What kind of a music fan are you if you don't go to festivals? It's not possible for everyone. It's not comfortable or safe for everyone to go.
Yeah, well, this emphasis on the vibe of the festival, which has sort of been, I guess, embraced by the boutique festivals such as Meredith. What's the other big one? Groove in the Moo, is that one?
That's the Triple J crowd.
Yeah, it's a Triple J core kind of festival. I have to also say that I haven't actually been to any of these festivals, so I'm just speaking on hearsay, so what I say might be completely inaccurate and highly judgmental. But that's why you're listening to us, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's the focus on the environment, or even though the music might not be great, you can still camp out in a muddy field and get stoned with all your mates and just get dressed up in hundreds of dollars of clothes that take seconds to ruin in the mud. Yes.
That emphasis on environment, kind of, if you don't have a good time, it feels like you're the one at fault, where in fact it's, you know, sometimes the environment is really just crappy for the reasons that we've gone over, and for a lot of people it's not a good time, and you know, if you don't participate in alcohol or drugs, and
then what's left?
Yeah, it's what kind of a music festival puts such an emphasis on getting out of your head to enjoy it.
It'd be an implied emphasis, and you get the implied emphasis through the psychedelic themes, the sort of a psychedelic rock. I mean, how else do you explain the proliferation of otherwise totally totally boring,
milquetoast
sort of highly derivative, but not derivative in a particularly interesting way. Bands like Tame Impala and Pond, and what's the other one? King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, which are basically like the Wolf Mother and Jets of like the modern era.
Yeah, pretty much. For a more discerning crowd who probably would think they're a bit above listening to Jet or Wolf Mother.
And I'm fully embracing my snob status here. But
same. And also it's just the lack of diversity as well. Again, bands.
It'll be sort of a tokenated diversity.
Yeah, there is, you know, they'll pick some token diversity, but in general it's these sort of bands that are held up as being like the, you know, the touchstone, the bands. And really, when you look at them, like...
I'm just trying to think here, because I'm going back 5-6 years since the last big day out that I went to. When I was going to those festivals, there wasn't, to me at least, there wasn't such an emphasis on atmosphere. For me and my friends, it was purely an economic thing. I mean, we had very little money, so when the chance to see Red Hot Chili Peppers and a whole bunch of other bands for, what, $150 or whatever, when a single ticket to a proper show would only cost $100 or whatever. It was seriously an economical decision as opposed to anything regarding vibe, and that's how I felt most people thought going to a festival. I mean,
a lot of people get loans to go to them. I've honestly seen this, or they sell pieces of furniture and other things, or they go broke. They live hand to mouth for a few weeks just to go to these festivals. I don't know if it's worth it. I mean, maybe it is for them, but I don't know.
As long as you're getting something out of it, then obviously if you think it's worth it, then don't let me stop you doing it. But it's still something that I myself wouldn't do. And, well, I think if there were still music festivals with lineups that I enjoyed, I would still go to them. If there were still the ATP festivals in Altona Sports Centre. Jeez, that was bizarre.
I do regret missing that one. I was busy that day. And it was, from what I heard, it was pretty special. But I think those are few and far between.
We've just got the 2017 Meredith thing lined up. So let's see.
Oh, they've got ESG. Yeah.
Well, ESG is the only band on here that I recognise. Otherwise, you've got Silent Wedge, Todd Turgey.
Oh, Turhey, yeah.
Turhey and the Olsons. That sounds very Nordic, which would appeal to the IKEA fans in the audience. No Name, which I've heard on Triple R a few times. Total Control, apparently they're good. They did a gig with Severed Heads not long ago, but not my thing.
Chick, chick, chick.
Not related to the little band of the same name. Future Islands, no idea who they are. Warpaint,
I know Warpaint.
Mark Seymour.
Wow.
This is just one note about festivals. I noticed a festival advertised at Monash the other day where the... I think Daryl Braithwaite was headlining it. There's this weird obsession that...
It's ironic. I saw him, I was at the Australian Open earlier in the year, talk about festivals. That's another kind of festival that's a bit garish. It's become more garish as it gets on. A bit off topic. But he was playing at the Australian Open out on one of the tents. And that was hilarious. And there were a bunch of drunk revelers just absolutely loving horses being played and just absolutely getting into it. But I mean, I'm guessing he's got the curse of like Rick Astley or someone, where he's got one song that he's allowed to play, and if he plays anything else, people are just like, boo!
Bizarre millennial obsession. And I have to say, just on speaking for the Anarchivist radio show, we don't do irony.
Yes, we do.
Well, Miel does irony.
I do irony.
I don't use irony. I use irony. If I use irony on you, you won't pick it up. Everyone else in the room will pick it up, and they will know exactly what I mean, and you won't. Irony is a weapon, people, so don't use it lightly. It's not something for entertainment. It's for driving home a point
in an
intellectual argument.
It can, well, it can be, and it also can be a powerful covert persuasive tool, and then I'm getting off track too.
No, well, that's when you get multiple levels of irony, which I think is just...
How many levels of irony are you on?
inability of people our age to find meaning in their lives. Okay, so go on to your bracket.
Okay, yes. Let's play some gosh darn music. I'm going to play some PJ Harvey, some Breeders, and some Gang of Four for you now.
Yes, sounds good.
You know the change will do you good. You know the change will do you good.
Alrighty.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. So what did we just hear? What just entered your cochlears?
Well, you tell me.
Dear listeners. So first we had 50 Foot Queenie, the 4-track demo version by PJ Harvey. Then we had The Breeders with Istanbul.
We've got
and
a new album coming out.
Yes, they do. I'm very excited. Yes. And lastly, we heard the old classic of Entertainment with a exclamation mark from Gang of Four. And that was getting into that when I was about 17 was basically I just cranked the treble on my amp and I never looked back after that album. It was excellent. And also, I just have to take a moment to appreciate the genius that is 50 Foot Queenie as a track.
It's got a great music video.
Oh, it's excellent. And I just love particularly the lyrics and how really gender transcendent they are. They're very... It's something I haven't really seen a lot in female artists is sort of taking on that masculine voice in a really sarcastic and ironic way and just lambasting it, and I just absolutely love it. If it is that PJ Harvey is cis, I'm not sure, because I really like, I look deep because she sounds like a fellow non-binary lady, but I couldn't find anything about that, so I won't assume her gender. But I can really sort of relate to a lot of the themes that she sings about from a more masculine perspective. So
that just reminds me, I remember on Rage that song came up. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Adelita or something who explained that song is basically inverting the hip-hop trope of guys sort of talk himself up, and it was like PJ's take on that.
Yeah, it wouldn't even just be hip-hop either.
Best. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's even it's present in a lot of punk rock and a lot of just rock in general and... just male pen songs and just chest puffing kind of stuff,
full of themselves.
Yeah. And that masculine swagger, which I mean, it's not exclusive to men, and I'm glad there's songs out there like that sort of reclaim it a bit.
Let's just have a look at what's coming up in the week.
Gig guide, unarchivist gig guide.
That's right. We should come up with a jingle for that.
No, so don't use that.
Tomorrow night at the Yarra Hotel, Carb on Carb are playing with World at a Glance, who share two members with the previous played Diploid,
yes,
along with other bands such as World Sick, Bad Skin, Older Men. Carb on Carb are fantastic. I really wanted to book them for a show, and then I found out that they were in New Zealand. So don't miss your chance to
go see them.
The following night, we have Warehouse.
Oh, Warehouse.
Warehouse 8.
Warehouse 8. Yes, Warehouse is a really it's a great initiative because it's bringing stuff. It's bringing great like artists and gigs into the southeast, which we really need. It's really difficult to slog out into the city every week and to see bands. And sometimes it's nice to just go, 20 minutes away from home and see a band or see five bands and see some artists, actual visual artists as well, and just sort of bask in it. And I really wish it was around when I was younger. So, yeah, do support that if you are a South and Easterner.
And that's on Friday night at 6 p.m. at Eddie's Band Room in Moorabbin.
Yep.
Some of the acts playing on that or performing a CAD or CAD, Trudy Potter, the Miyagi's Epsilon, Ruby Rose, Scat, Shane Van Der Acker, Cactus and HWY or Highway. I'm not quite sure what that is. And then on Saturday, what do we have? We have also on Friday night, if you're not in the mood for music and in the mood for amateur radio, the EMDRC Club Rooms are hosting a seminar on digital modes and how to operate in them.
I'm very excited.
So if you have considered getting your amateur radio license or have it already and just want to hang out with a great bunch of amateurs who are very knowledgeable, then come on down to the EMDRC Club Rooms in Burwood. Full details if you search for EMDRC on Google. Then Saturday morning,
morning.
We have,
it's a matinee.
And
is it?
Saturday morning, the 17th of March, we have St. Jude's Fete at St. Jude's Primary School in Scoresby.
Oh, it's so wholesome.
That's right. And I've been going to this fete on and off for probably the last 20 years. And there's often trash and treasure and food and donuts. And who doesn't love hot jam donuts? Well,
oh, yeah, delicious.
I'm not sure if this event is invite, I don't think it's invite only, but the Leon Spitcher Memorial Trivia Night is also on Saturday night. Now, Leon was
Lions Club? No?
No, no. Leon was a member of staff in the chemistry department where I work, who sadly passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's sad.
At
yeah.
Tragically a young age, and he was an extremely accomplished chemist and a very nice guy. And there will be a trivia night to in his memory on Saturday night, and might just pull up the details. But if not, send a I don't have the details here, but send a PM to the Anarchivist, Anarchivist Facebook page if you'd like to know more about that. And
hit us up. Yeah.
Yes, those are the events that I've got on my calendar.
Anything else, Mia? I don't... I'd have to pull it up on Facebook. I haven't prepared myself for this segment, but I would probably just echo that. What else do I have? Events. I don't even know if you can... Oh, yeah, events. Here we go. I'm going to read you my Facebook events, people, and you're going to listen. Events today? No, I can't.
No, it's okay if it's...
I can't with this new interface...
Oh dear, what are you using, an HTC or an Apple?
No, it's this is a OnePlus 5.
Android, that's what I mean.
Yep, so I've basically got all the same ones, and for now anyway. Also, Lossless is doing a residency. If you're into hip-hop, they're doing a residency at... Ooh, let me see.
We've got to avoid dead air here on 3MU. You're listening to Radio Monash, 3MU. Wish that we still had a call sign like 3MU.
We
it
don't.
Sounds so cool.
Yeah.
We go back 20 years and maybe we did have a call sign back then.
Okay. So, yeah. So, Lossless is playing Wednesdays in March at the Evelyn. So, go check them out too. They're incredible hip-hop. Sort of hip-hop, but R&B. It's really difficult to pin them down. It's just... Excellent. Go and check them out. So we are... Do you think we're filling another bracket?
I think that we can do another bracket.
Yes.
I'll just quickly say, if you are bored on a Saturday night and have nothing else to do, or even if you do have other things to do but don't want to do them, go to www.crossbandradio.com.
He's trying to convert you guys, and you should listen because Crossband Radio is awesome.
It's an institution in Melbourne. It's been going for almost 50 years.
It's fascinating. It's got a rich history. You should check it out. You should get into it and be a nerd.
That's right. Or you can listen in on 2 meters or 80 meters if you're a radio nerd and know what I'm talking about. Or just go on the net and stream it. But it's quite entertaining, or as they would say on the missions, taining. Sorry, that's all for me.
Just omit the first syllable on everything. Okay, so we are going to hear a bracket. And we're going to kind of...
Old school Aussie indie.
Yes, okay, so here we go. Enough from us.
On my body, on my body, on my body, work. Running down the street,
Well. It's almost time for us to head off.
Yeah, sorry. There's a 4-minute discrepancy in the studio clock. So apologies to Liam, who's coming up next with Res... I had it up here. Sorry, Liam.
His show.
Resentment Normativity.
His wonderful show.
Who will be
show.
Up next. Yep. So stay on for that. And you just heard Body by Peach Fuzz. And Westgate Bridge by Sleepy Township. Mm-hmm. And that last one was very, very early Girling, G for Sadness by Girling off their first EP, which is very good. So we'll see you next week. This is Andrew.
And this is Miel. And you were listening to the Anarchivist Podcast.
See you next
episode
week.
One. Bye.
Bye.